Best. Sunday school is heading out, and here we go. I think, you know what? We turned a big corner. Yes, thanks. We turned a big corner last week, had a high day. We had four or five kids with us on Sunday. First time that's happened in a long, long time. And there they go out the door with Heidi this morning, and that's fantastic. Tonight, Alpha, 6 p.m. 6 o'clock Alpha in here, in this room. And we're excited about what's going on there. Maybe next week we'll get Cheryl and Jordan to give us a little bit of an update on what's going on. Dan is helping with that too. Buddy, come on. I'll get out of your way. And we're so thankful for Dan. Man, having you preach has just made our lives a lot easier. Claudio and I are really thankful. So there you go. Dan the man, Kersey.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Got to keep those expectations a little lower. Okay. All right, I'm going to pray. I got out of the habit of praying before I speak, so we're going to pray today. Just, you can't have too much prayer. Lord, I just thank you so much for today. I thank you for the weather. I thank you for where we live. I thank you for the people here today. Lord, I pray right now that as I speak, you just take me down rabbit trails if you have to, but bring me back. And Lord, I just pray for open ears and hearts today as your message, you know, pours out through me. And just let me step aside and let you speak through me today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is the final chapter or final session of our five-year, UN 5 years. And I can't believe we started like right at the new year. We started out with Claudio, and Doug had a message. Tim's had some messages. I've had some messages, and we're coming to the end of our series. It's the last one. So I'm kind of excited at the same time because I want to go through a few things that we talked about, but at the same time, I want to really focus on what this message is about today because I believe that for City Light as a body, and I'm talking to friends today. I've gotten to know a few of you over the last little while, and it's been really good, and I just really feel like I'm speaking to family today. So know my heart where I'm coming from today in this message because I really want Jesus to grow in all of you. I want to see change in all of us. I want to see changes in my friends. I want to see changes in my life. I want to see changes in my wife. I want to see changes in people and watch the work that God does in people's lives. So you in 5 years, who do you want to be in 2030 is what we've been talking about. Why do we want to change? Why is it so hard to change? You know, why or how do we do it? And the other last time I was up here, we do it step by step. And in obedience, in a lot of the time, it's obedience in that area. And then Claudio's message last week was, when is the time? And I got out of it as in right now. The time is right now. And giving your best to God rather than giving him the last parts of your day. So today's message speaks on what can be taken away from everything in this entire series or everything in your life's journey with Jesus. What can be taken away? I'm going to throw a wrench in here because a lot of the time, I like good sermons. I like sermons that, you know, uplift me and, you know, are really good sermons to hear. But sometimes we need to hear things that we don't want to hear a lot of the time. But they're good messages. So hear my heart in this. There are what ifs in life. Okay, we want to have the best and see everything happen that's really well and everything be perfect, you know, but what ifs always do come along. And this is what ends up happening. Like, I'm going to talk about this more at the end of the sermon, but what if the changes I want to see in my life don't happen? What if I'm not as far along as I'd hoped in this five-year journey? And what if this five-year plan fails and nothing goes right? I want to answer those questions more at the end of the sermon, but keep that back in your mind because a lot of the times we focus on in our life the what ifs, and the what ifs kind of keep us from doing what we really want to do or what God wants us to do in our life. You jump right into scripture here. Now, we've heard this probably preached 1,000 times. I have many, many times. But this is the message about Mary and Martha, where Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus and Martha is busy doing her thing. And Jesus comes up to or lets Martha know that, you know, you're doing all these things, which is really great, but Mary has chosen the better thing. And so let's just read the scripture together and we'll get into it. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Now, I'm going to stop right there just for a second. Understanding the culture of the day, sitting at somebody's feet means that you're humbling yourself and saying that you are teaching me. I want you to teach me. And in that day, women were not recognized as being a disciple or to be taught by other men. It was up to the husband to teach them or help them understand things. So in this case, Mary was doing something that was definitely out of culture, out of the eyes of most people. All right, so verse 40 says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him," Jesus, "and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.'" So understand that Mary was helping, but she stopped what she was doing to come and sit at the feet of Jesus. "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her.'" So what can we take away from this scripture? Well, Martha good, or Martha bad, Mary good. No, that's not, we read that. We say, we look at Martha, you're doing the bad things. Mary, you've done the good things. No, because we know all through scripture that the Lord always asks us to serve one another, outdo each other in goodness, honor each other. That's all through the scriptures. We want to be doing that. But this is really cool how Jesus answered Martha. He goes, "You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion." So it's not that Martha was doing anything terribly wrong. It's just that Mary was choosing the better thing to do, right? And, you know, I always think about this. There's two things, God's will. Anyway, there could be more, but I kind of study this a little bit and think about it for myself. But we always seem to be walking in God's permissible will rather than God's perfect will. So you believe there's God's permissible will in our lives where he allows us to do the things because we have free will. But then there's God's perfect will for our lives, that he has this complete plan already ready for us, set out to do things that we couldn't even imagine possible if we trust him. And that's God's perfect will for our lives. But I think a lot of us, even myself, are walking in God's permissible will. This is a picture, Martha and Mary. This is a really good picture of Martha and her kind of, if we take a look at it today, it's kind of the busyness of life and what we're doing, where Martha is doing things that are good in a way that she wants to serve and she wants to be helpful because the 12 disciples are here in her house. Jesus is in the house and I want to prepare and make a good meal and make sure everything's great and perfect and everything for this meeting that we're having. And Mary steps aside and goes, "Well, I'm not doing those dishes right now. I'm going to go sit down here at the teacher," right? You know, and this is kind of the attitude we see in this picture. And Martha has an attitude right off the start. And can you imagine coming up to Jesus and going, "Jesus, what's going on here?" You know, and can you just talking to Jesus? Can you imagine somebody doing that? And this is the attitude that Martha has, kind of talking. But Jesus doesn't react that way. Jesus looks at Martha and says, "You know, you're troubled and anxious about many things." And I believe that, you know, Jesus never wasted one word when he talked to people through the entire scriptures in the Bible. He never wasted one word. And I believe that Jesus wasn't just talking to Martha and Mary in this scripture. He knew that one day this series or this particular scripture would be talked about for many, many years, would be in many sermons, would be in many gatherings. And so he specifically points out that Martha is troubled and anxious by many things. He didn't point out that, you know, "Martha, you know, sit down, be quiet, and just watch what Mary's doing. You know, he took that and said to her, listen, I know what's going on in your life right now in this particular time, in this moment, that you are troubled and anxious about other things, not just in this area of you trying to prepare for this meal, but I'm looking at your life in the huge, big picture of your life, and you're troubled and bothered by many things. So I believe that Jesus was not just talking about Mary and Martha right at the specific time that in that Bible verse, but this is why the Bible is so relevant for today, because it speaks to us right now, right here. So Mary chose to be focused on the master in the house. See, who's the master in your house? Rather than focusing on doing for the master of the house, she focused on the master. So you in 5 years, this whole series has been focused on the transformation and growth. You see, if we're not being transformed by Jesus himself, we're being transformed by something else. That could be in the way of our mind. That could be in the way of us doing things. Because Jesus taught us that, you know, whatever comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. And I don't have the scripture up here, but Romans 12:2 says to transform your mind. But even before that, in the same scripture, it says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Because a lot of our mindsets are being transformed by everyday things that are happening out there. Our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes are all being transformed by something, and we need to have those things transformed by him, not those things. So ask yourself, when you're doing something, is there a why behind my action? What is the why behind why I'm thinking this way? Why my attitude is this way? Why is it I'm doing what I'm doing right now? Or sometimes we only see hindsight and go, why did I do that? But if you question your why, you're going to understand, hopefully, and question that and go and think back and ask the Lord, why did I do that, Lord? Why was I thinking those things? You see, if we don't understand our value in God's eyes, our mindset will want to work towards a relationship in Jesus rather than spending time with him where the works flow out of our relationship with him. Does that make sense? Like, we're trying to work for him because we see value in the work, but we don't actually see the value in spending time with him where the works flow out of us because of the relationship. Seeing ourselves through the eyes of Jesus is so important. It's relationship first, then the works. Does that make sense? I think the biggest thing is that the enemy will capitalize on our thoughts, how we do things, how we perceive things, our attitudes towards something. Anytime we want to step out, anytime that the Lord's asked you to do something, there's going to be opposition there. The enemy doesn't care if you're doing good things for people as long as it's you doing it for them and not through a relationship with Jesus. Because if you're doing it through the relationship of Christ, you're growing in Christ. If you're just doing it because it's the Christian thing to do, then you've missed the whole point. And the enemy is not scared at all about the Christian thing to do. He's more worried about your relationship and growing in him, because you can be more effective in the kingdom when your relationship with Jesus is solid. See, the enemy, I'd be careful here. You know how Jesus talked about, you know, the seeds, the farmer going out and sowing the seeds, okay? And I'm not saying I'm not saying that every single thought that you have that's wrong is from the enemy. But what I'm saying is that the enemy has opportunities to plant seeds in your thoughts so that you actually become aware of them and start acting out of them. And maybe it's just so that it can stop you from doing what you're supposed to do. Because that's the job of what the enemy, that's the job of the enemy, is to stop you from getting closer to Jesus, stop you from being transformed into him, to stop you from doing the things that God has called you to do. The enemy doesn't want you to take the territory that he's already taken. I want you to take a look at Peter. Peter's an awesome example of this, okay? Matthew 16, 18 and 19 and 21 and 23. So let me just read this. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. What an awesome thing to say, like to tell Peter. Like before this, even before this scripture, if you go back a little bit, Jesus was asking, who do you say I am? And Peter, it was revealed to Peter. And Jesus goes, wow, Peter, this wasn't revealed to you by man. This was revealed to you by the Spirit of God, by my Father. And so Jesus tells Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Sign me up. I mean, that is an amazing pep talk from Jesus himself. I thought that was just absolutely amazing. But watch what happens here. In verse 21 to 23, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, and from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised up. And Peter took him aside. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Here we go again. Talking to Jesus like, Jesus, what is up with this? Saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Now, hold on a second. Peter's intentions here were good. Martha's intentions were good. Okay? But listen to what Jesus says in response to what Peter is. Now, Jesus knows Peter, okay, knows who he is, knows how he can take this. All right? So, Peter, this is harsh. I don't think, and if I can remember correctly, I don't believe that Jesus rebuked any of his disciples like he did this with Peter. But he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on things of man. Now, if you take a look at the last bit of that scripture, verse 23, he turned and said, turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me. But in the same sentence, he says, for you, now he's talking to Peter, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. The minute that you decide to step out and do something, there is going to be opposition in your life. And this is why sometimes our goals that we set, that we want to change in, stop happening because things in life don't go as we planned, and we get involved in the thinking that this must not be what God wants because it's not working out. How many people have said that? This must not be God's plan for my life because everything's just going horrible and I should just stop and just go back to doing what I was doing before. You see, the enemy couldn't get to Jesus. But what did he do? He used somebody that was close to Jesus to try and distract Jesus. And this is a good picture of what the enemy can do in your family or your friends. You're on track with something, and the enemy wants to stop you but can't get to you. He'll use somebody else to try and stop you from doing what you're supposed to do. Getting closer to Jesus means there's going to be opposition. Means that you're producing something. You're growing. Even if it doesn't look like it, you're growing and producing something. If there's no opposition, there's probably no growth. There's probably nothing the enemy even has to worry about in your life. There's nothing being produced. But maybe you feel like you've been dealt a bad hand in life. And setting 5 years of goals to even transform or get to know Jesus even more, and you're just trying to survive in life. There's so much stuff that's happened in your life that you can't even think about anything else but picking up broken pieces. Maybe 5 years sounds great to you, and you're at the starting line, and you don't know how to actually step across that starting line. Or maybe you're like Peter, struggling to understand what your purpose is, because Peter didn't know the whole picture. He got this huge pep talk from Jesus, but didn't know the whole picture, couldn't see it, and then gets angry at Jesus for talking about him dying. This is the best thing that's ever happened to Peter in his entire life, and then gets rebuked by Jesus because he was even thinking that. And he gets confused, and he doesn't understand. Sometimes in our life, we don't see the big picture, and that's okay. The purpose of our life is to get and draw closer to Jesus. I've got a 5-minute video I want to watch. And I want you just to think and look and listen to what this guy says, because I think it's really important. If Jesus can use a man like this, he can definitely use you. That's what the Holy Spirit told me when I watched that video, I was like, wow, that's so awesome. Because his life didn't start out with everybody listening to him and preaching in multiple countries and things like that. His life started out absolutely impossible, absolutely impossible. No legs, no arms, and yet he's preaching the gospel everywhere. Let's take a look at that verse, Ephesians 3:20 that he mentioned. Now, in him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work in us. I think that's the key to understanding that. It's not the power of our own work or our own ability. It's the power according to him who is in us. And we have to say, yes, Lord, I am willing to allow you to work in my life to see that abundance come and flow out of me. Because we want to control all the time. We want to control our situations. We want to control our finances. We want to control what we're having for breakfast or lunch or dinner. We want to control our relationships. We want to control everything. But when we sit back and go, Lord, I want you to take control of these things in my life, is where that abundance comes from. It's from him being able to look and mold your life into his plan for you. And I don't care how old you are or how young you are, the plan still exists. You just say, yes, Lord, take me, show me what it is that I stop from this happening, but you can start. And I can tell you something right now. I thought I missed 43 years of my life because I wasn't following Jesus. And I thought that I wrecked his plan for my life. But you know what? I'm not that big. You know, I'm not that big. I can't stop God's plan in my life. And he can accelerate your plan if you say, yes, Lord. He will accelerate you in a way that you never even thought possible. It's absolutely amazing. So to know the truth about who you are according to Jesus, you need to get that established in your heart. If you don't get that purpose and who he is in you, the establishment, that root foundation, everything else will be a substitute for him. Everything else will be a substitute truth in your life if he is not the foundation of that. Don't let purpose of your life be in the doing, but in the knowing who he is. Don't be the purpose of your life into wanting to do things for God rather than knowing who God is. We walk by faith, not by sight, not by circumstances, not by feelings, not by what's going on the news. Those are earthly things, right? Those are the things of God. If we are focused on those, we've lost our point. We've lost the vision for God's life for us. We are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. Okay, how much salt and light does the world need right now? And if you don't understand who you are, you're not going to understand the value. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't understand who the light that is in you to shine out to others, you're not going to understand your value in who you are and what he did for you. Except all you're doing is looking at your life is the past and the things that you've done, or maybe the hurt or everything that's going on, and you stop seeing what he did for you rather than what happened with you. Does that make sense? The truth will set you free. Who's the truth? Who's the truth? Jesus. Truth isn't something that we make up or decide. It isn't a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not a theology. It's Jesus is the truth. And if that, anything out there is, if that's taking away from the truth, then it's not Jesus. Mary took time to hear the voice of the house. Martha was doing what she knew best, because that's all she knew how to do at the time. She was doing the things of man, doing the things of the culture at the time, which were right, okay? But there were tradition and there were earthly things. But let's give Peter a bad rap again here. What did he do after Jesus died? He went fishing. Doing the things that he is used to doing and what he used to know. It got hard. Jesus wasn't here anymore to help him out. So he went back to knowing what was his own thing and what he knew. If we don't understand our value, we won't understand why we need to change. If we don't understand why he died on the cross for us, so that we could be in relationship with him, we won't understand our value to change why we want to learn from him. Some of us have reduced our relationship to knowing Jesus, to serving Jesus. Without intimacy with Jesus, we lose the understanding and our value. We replace knowing him with doing those things, and we feel like we have to make up for it. I did something bad in my life, or I did something wrong in my past, or I did something wrong yesterday. Oh, now I got to make up for it, for doing something to serve Jesus to make up for it. Well, I'll tell you right now, you can't. There's nothing you can do to make up for anything. He loves you because he loves you. He died for you because he loves you. And there's nothing we can do to make up the things that we think we want to make up for, because he's already done it. He's already seen your life. He's already seen the beginning to the end. And he already knows you. So there's nothing we can do other than saying, yes, Lord, take my heart, change it into you. Change it for your purpose. Take time to sit at the feet of Jesus and establish him in your heart, not in your head. You know, I want to be that person when Jesus comes back again. I want to be that person that says, hey, I was just talking to you. I'll do this one last verse and we'll wrap things up. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Luke 6:40. It says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus wanting to be trained. I know he's got things to say. I can hear it. I can feel it. There was something that changed in the room that made Mary stop what she was doing to sit and be quiet, to be still and know that I'm God, to hear his voice, to listen to him, because what he has to offer is better than anything else in this world. Perception-wise, this world is so hard to not see with our hands and touching and feeling in our senses, because that's what we were born into. But to be able to understand that we can have a relationship with Jesus and sitting there and listening to him and cultivating that, talking and moving our spirit inside of us to connect with him. At the beginning of the sermon, I asked, what if? What if these things don't work out? Well, I'll tell you something right now. What if God? What if God intervenes? See, if you focus on the doing, the what ifs are going to matter. They're going to matter to you if you just focus on the doing. If you focus on getting to know Jesus and your value, there will never be a what if. You'll never have a what if again, ever, because you're grounded and focused right in Christ, right in Jesus. So what can be taken away from all this? Number one, you have value in God's sight. Get to know him from a heart's perspective, and you'll find God's plan for your life. Last slide. Oh, this is it. Thank you. Time spent with Jesus will transform you into him. You'll become like him. Good works and goals flow from a relationship, not the other way around.